into our post-race press conference here for the Daytona 500 with our winning team. We've got team owners Ted and Jody Geschechter, and then crew chief Mike Kelly. We're going to go ahead and open up the floor for questions. We're going to start with Mike Embry.
Mike Embry from NBC Sports. Mike, congratulations, all you guys. What was the note about? Who left the note? What did the note say?
I did. This morning when I woke up, it was at 3:30, and, you know, I've been coming here for a long time. I think it's like my 27th year coming here, and I've been fortunate to win the 500 one time before. But it just something this morning felt different, and kind of how our week started. I kept telling myself if we just keep working on our car and keep believing in ourselves, maybe something will work out. So when I woke up this morning, I told myself, and it's something I used to do for Ricky when we had tough days in the Xfinity car. I just wrote him a note that only he would see, and it was on top of the roll bar in front of him. And it just said, "We believe." And that's kind of been our team's motto all off season, is that we believe, right? We're a small team. We're not a super powerhouse team. We're small. I think there's 40, 45 employees that work in our shop every day. But I have 45 people that believe in what we're trying to accomplish. We're trying to get people to believe in Ricky Stenhouse again. We're trying to get people to believe in myself and in the vision that we have. So that's all it was, a simple note on a piece of duct tape that I wrote, said, "We believe, and we believe today." And I stuck it up there above his head.
Do you know if he saw it before the race or after? I
don't know if he did or not. We never mentioned it. We never talked about it. I didn't tell him. And that's how we've done it before. I know he probably saw it, and he didn't need to ask me about it. I think he probably saw it. I asked him about it after the race was over. I said, "Did you see it?" And he told me he did. So that meant enough to me.
Go to Jordan and then to Mark.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. This question's for Mike. Mike, you've been with Ricky for a while now. What makes him so good on super speedway races?
All right, you're gonna take this wrong, but I'm going to tell you. Ricky's good everywhere, right? In 2011 and 12, when he had competitive cars in the Xfinity Series, we raced against the best in that series, and it was Harvick's and Carl and Joey Logano. And we won a lot of races everywhere, right? Short tracks, we would lead a lot of laps. I think we won 3 out of 4 at Iowa and led 298 laps at ORP, and we were in contention to win road courses. Is he extra good at super speedways? Yes. Yes, he is. And I've always seen that, and we've been fortunate enough to come close a lot of times. I think last year this team was sitting in the same spot they were tonight. I think at lap 195, they were leading the race with 4 or 5 to go. And got dumped and got wrecked. That's just the nature of the beast. And I thought that exact same thing would happen tonight. I saw the cameras start to gather around the pit box when we were in the green-white checkered, and I wouldn't look at them, and I wouldn't look up. And because I know it means so much to every driver out there, not just mine. There will be champions that will quit their career and never win the 500, and there will be guys who have missed so many opportunities so close. So I know what it means to them guys, and it means to every one of us, right, that work on these things all winter long, that provide ownership and sponsorship, and it's everyone, the people that buy our hotel rooms. The Daytona 500 is what we race for, and from a kid who grew up in Florida, it has extra special meaning. So I was worried when we took that last restart, but I believed in Ricky's abilities and that he would put himself in the best position he could. And to come around and hear that we actually, at first I wasn't positive that we had won, and I wasn't going to celebrate till I heard it in my ear, and then you just don't believe it, right? You're like, man, this is killing me. This is a dream come true. I joke with my PR girl Jen, and NASCAR sends out a lot of emails about what the post race celebration process is and where you guys are going. And I think there was another revision this morning, and about going to Chicago. And I joked with her and I said, "Look, I'm going to be so drunk, you're going to have to just tell me again. So it's okay if you wait and send me another email about it."
This question's for all three of you. I'd love for you guys to answer this. JTG, fairly or not, has had a reputation for an organization that maybe hasn't always fulfilled its potential. I'm curious if you think that's a fair assessment and why that is the case, of why this organization has been able to kind of take that next step while other mid-sized teams have had wins and that kind of and the like.
Absolutely, and I agree with you 100%. And that was one thing I think in 20, 2020 when I came here in 2021, and the roles that I've had behind the scenes working on cars and working on things at that group. And 100% I would agree with you that they haven't fulfilled the potential by no means of any one person or any one thing. And that's what, when they asked me last year to do this, that was one of the reasons why I jumped at it, was because I saw the potential. I think for the first time in your 28-year history last year, they had five top fives in a row or something like that. But at the same time, we finished 27th or 28th in points, right? Those two shouldn't go together. You shouldn't have career milestones this high, but also finish where they did. And that was part of it, right? They provide, this team provides us with everything we need, right? I'll say that again. Since I've been there for 3 or 4 years, not once have they said no. We have a state-of-the-art facility. We have CNC shops. We have Hawkeye machines. We have the parts and pieces. It was kind of, to me, it's like just getting to believe, Ricky to believe in himself again, and getting the people around us to believe in the situation we're in. So, yeah, I would agree with you that, and then they can allude on that. But that's always been my attraction to this team, was we have the parts and pieces. It's aligning them right.
Couldn't say it any better.
It's a little bit different what I'm going to say, but it does speak to where we are. Every morning I get up and I put on my shoes of peace and I go out. But make no mistake, this is a battle. The competition in the series is fierce and it's serious. And we are blessed to have the partners that we have and the sponsors that we have. But it's a battle and it's a fight and it's hard. And it's not for lack of effort. We've come really close, so I try not to get our hopes up. You know, tonight when we were close and it was the last lap and there's another caution, I just think, dear Lord, please, no. We need it. We need it, and we need it now. We need it tonight. We need it to happen. And it did, you know. We work hard. The guys do their jobs. We're prepared. We're prepared every day. We have the support of Chevrolet, and we have sponsors that stick with us. And we're truly blessed. I'm just happy to be here. So doesn't really answer the question, but it's how I'm feeling right now.
And we're joined now also by Gordon Smith with the JTG.
Thanks. And I missed the question because I came in late.
Go next to Mark, and then we'll go to Jenna.
Mark Garrow, PRN. This is for Jody and Tad. Jody, out on pit road, I heard you as the celebration. Somebody asked you a question about Ricky, and you said, we never gave up on him. A lot of people might question that. So why did you guys not give up with all the ups and downs sometimes you've had? Why did you not give up on Ricky Stenhouse Jr.?
Okay. We didn't give up on Ricky because, personally, I feel like he's got the spirit of a winner. And I like what he represents as a person. And I see flashes of brilliance in what he does. And I felt like he could do it. I felt like he could get the job done. And I never questioned that.
Mr. Chuck?
Yeah, I'll add to that. I mean, we have 18 corporate partners. There are not many drivers in this series that do the work that Ricky Stenhouse does every day behind the scenes that no one sees, to, you know, appearances in front of grocery stores, to trips to corporate headquarters. I mean, he's a workhorse, and, man, someone that believes in you that hard, you're going to keep believing back in them too.
Jenna Fryer, Associated Press. Congratulations, Tad and Jody. Jody, you were just saying how hard this is and how difficult it is. And you guys are the first single-car team since the Wood Brothers in 2011 to win this race. So it's hard. It's why do you do it?
Because we don't quit. We're tenacious. We don't quit. We dig in. I had a very strong family background that taught me that, and they instilled that in me. And you do have to raise questions in your mind and say, is this the right path? I mean, you have to be smart about it. But we just don't quit. You get the information, you try to make smart decisions, and you don't quit.
I guess she doesn't let you quit.
How about that first female car owner to win the Daytona 500?
Yeah. And with the win as well with Brad Doherty, not here tonight, unfortunately, but also the first African-American team owner for the Daytona 500. Go next to Bob.
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. For Tad, kind of following up on some of these questions, did any of your sponsors, you talk about Ricky and how good he is with the sponsors, but did any of them question, like, hey, should we get somebody who has won more often?
Not once. The Kroger folks are right over there. They can answer that. Not once. Yeah, you know, he's a corporate spokesperson and a race car driver. Everyone can see the talent and that was in there and the work he does for them. It's all about selling more products. So, no, we never had any of that pressure at all.
Go next to Edgar, then to Jeff, and then to Kelly.
What would Brad have to say? Where is he?
Brad has had some eye surgery, and he was here this morning to visit with our sponsors, and the light was really bothering his eyes. So, man, we've been trying to get texts in between the 348 text messages I got, but we'll call him here shortly.
I talked to him for a few minutes, uh-huh. And he said that he and Michael Jordan are already talking trash. So I'm not sure what was said.
That's what I was going to ask.
There have been conversations.
I was going to ask. He's got to be pretty pumped, Michael.
Yeah.
Okay. Go to Jeff.
I'm over here for Mike. Mike, when your last crew chief job ended, did you feel like maybe that was the end of your crew chief days, or did you feel like you were always going to get another opportunity like the one you have now?
No, I didn't think that I would. I didn't know that I wanted to, right? Just like what Tad said, and we all know, man, this is a grind. This is tough. This is hundreds of nights on the road, hundreds of hours a week in the shop. And I didn't know, I had got to a point where I still loved the sport and I still loved what I did. And I was trying to figure out what exactly I wanted to do next. And every year I would get a couple opportunities, and I always told myself that I wouldn't do it unless I was 100% bought in. And this started getting talked about a little bit. And then as the season was getting to the end of I knew right away, this would be one I would do. Obviously my relationship with Ricky, pulled me in that direction really hard. What I saw in our shop and what our owners supplied us and parts and pieces in our things, this is one that I really wanted to do. So had this opportunity not come up, probably not. I don't know that I would again. And I had a long talk with my wife about it, that because it's a commitment. It's a lot. And I told her that if I get a chance at an opportunity, that I would put everything I had into it. I was fortunate enough, Jack gave me an opportunity in 2014 to be Ricky's Cup crew chief, and I just wasn't ready. I had spent too much time in the Xfinity garage, and it was at a time when we were struggling as an organization, and we just weren't as good as we needed to be, and I wasn't ready. And that made it tough, and I told myself, if I ever get the opportunity again, you better be ready. And I feel like I've worked really hard this offseason, not just on cars and vehicles, but on people. And I think that means as much as anything. If you get a group of guys who believe in each other and gals who believe in each other, small teams can do a lot. I watched that 78 car out in Colorado kick a lot of people's butts with equipment that they were getting from another organization. And not that we're trying to do exactly what they did, but well, we have that same belief and goal.
And then, for lack of a better term, you're sort of like the Ricky Whisperer, maybe. why do you guys get along so well? What is it about your personalities that mesh?
Man, it's probably as much of the things you guys know about on the racetrack that we have done off the racetrack, and the things we've gone through in our lives together, the ups and downs, the going to Tulsa and spending all our weeks together in the Chili Bowl and just talking about this sport and what this sport means to us, but also what it has done to us, the ups and downs and the places it's taken us. You know, we've seen a lot of highs, but we've seen a lot of lows. And I remember sitting in meetings where Ricky's career almost ended before it ever started. You all know the story, right? He had to cut cars up at Roush because he had wrecked so much stuff. And I remember sitting in meetings when they basically voted, and not one person out of that group voted to cast him to the side. But it's been as much off the track. It's been sleeping on my couch or in his motorhome. Just two people that when you say you have someone's back, you know they have your back. And when you say, I'm going to make this decision, he knows I'm making the best decision for Ricky Stenhouse, not Mike Kelly by myself. It's for him. And when we work on our race cars and we debrief, there's been days like we almost wrestled 1 year at Bristol. I mean, literally grabbed each other, and I thought we were going to kill each other because of a mistake. But he knew I made the best decision I had at that time. And I think going into today, you know, we qualified horrible, right? We just won the Daytona 500 with like the 35th fastest car here in qualifying. But we learned as an organization. We went to work that night. Like when we left here with our tails between our legs, we went to that hotel room and we worked till 12:30 that night. Our alarms went off at 6:30 that next morning, and my group was down in the hotel lobby, and we worked and dug and dug, and we had a better car on Thursday. And we didn't have the best car on Thursday, and we worked again, and we worked all night long. And we had Friday after practice, he said, we got a car that can do this. He said, I could see that it rolled the corner really well. I could see it did everything he wanted it to do, and we covered it up, and we didn't practice Saturday. And that's how confident we felt about what we had. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My wife was there. She remembers it. So Ricky's first year at Bristol in the Xfinity car, we dominated that whole race. And they changed right side tires halfway through the race, and we still were killing them. And it came down to a green flag pit stop it was a green flag pit stop, and we decided we needed to pit for fuel. We're going to run out, which never happens at Bristol. So we pitted for fuel. Obviously, the caution comes out 3 laps later, and we're trapped 5 laps down or whatever, and he's mad. So that's not it, though. That's just the first one. So we go back there, the fall race, and I'm like, look, we got this. We'll kill him again. We'll win it this time. And I think we're leading with like 30 to go, and a caution comes out, and I said, you know they're going to do the exact opposite of whatever I do. I know I got your back. I got your back. Whatever you say, I'm here for you. And I said, all right, pit. They're not pitting. And I said, I know you got my back, right? Nope, that's the dumbest decision we've made. So I think we ended up getting back to third or something. And he was going to go his way, and I was going to go my way and just talk. We were going to rehash it. But I knew he had a sponsor commitment thing going on at his bus. And my wife said, you guys probably need to talk this out. Don't drive out of this, because I was literally doing donuts in Bristol's parking lot. I was so pissed. And so I drove my truck straight to his bus, and I think I parked it all on the bumper of his truck. And I went to go start yelling. He went to go start yelling. Next thing, we were hugging, and we were wrestling on the ground about it. But it is okay. We can do those things. I'll tell you another funny story you asked him about, or a good one, right? So we used to rent a house in Michigan on this lake, and it was for the team. We didn't stay in hotel rooms. And Ricky always wanted to be around the team, wanted to be around the guys. And I said, man, we got a 4-bedroom house with already 8 guys staying in it. And I said, your only option is to sleep in bed with me. And he said, well, I'm game. Are you good? I'm good. And I'm like, man, if you're good, I'm good. So we joke about all the time that, man, that's the only man I had to share a bed with, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. So maybe that's part of it, right? Good. So maybe you can ask him about it. But it is. That's the relationship we have, and that's how it works for us.
We'll go next to Kelly and then to Jerry.
That's right. That's right.
We'll go next to Kelly, then to Jerry, then to Matt.
That's right. I'm not scared.
Kelly Crandall, racer.com. Let me start with Mike to your right here. You said a few minutes ago that you have to get Ricky Stenhouse believing in himself again. Has that been a problem?
No, I think that the one thing about Ricky is his confidence is there, right? And when I told him this, I said, man, I've worked with a lot of drivers. I've worked with some really great drivers. And the one thing Ricky does different than every single driver I've ever worked with is he can blow an engine in Fontana, or he can get in a wreck at Phoenix. The next week, the next first lap in track, he believes he's going to win. He believes he has the ability to shut off what happened before anyone, right? If we have a bad practice, the next practice he believes he still has a shot at winning the race, or a bad pit stop, he believes he's gonna be able to do it. But he sees the things, right? And he hears the things, and I literally had to spend a ton of time showing. I would show him video and show him things to say, look, you didn't cause that wreck. You were in it, and your name's just going to be attached to it. That's what we got to fix, right? We don't want it that anytime you're involved in something, somebody just says, well, Stenhouse was in it again, right? So many times that's been the situation, but that's not how it's perceived. That's what I wanted to change. I wanted him to believe that he was not the fault of a lot of things, but take responsibility for those that he is. Sped on pit road tonight, and we've talked about it. You know, he made a mistake. Those are the things we got to fix. And I wanted him to get back to where he was, where he believed in himself.
For Tad, Jody, or Gordon, Jody, you had said a few minutes ago that when it was coming down at the end there, that you were praying. No, we need this. We need it now. Besides being able to say from here on out that you all won the Daytona 500, do you have any idea what winning this race will do for your organization?
Well, this morning, I woke up at 3:30 this morning also. That's interesting. Didn't know that you did that too. So I was up at 3:30, kind of tossing around, just thinking through the day. And when Tad woke up, I'm making coffee, and he said, we're going to win today. I said, you really think so? He said, I do. He said, I feel it. I feel like we're going to win today. And we prepare every week, and sometimes you know when you've got a better shot than others. But Tad really felt it. And we said our prayer before we went back out into the world, and we did our Wonder Twin Powers Activate. Kind of sounds hokey, but that's what we do. Wonder Twin Powers Activate, we get busy. So when I say we need it, I mean, you need it. You work hard, you need to finish things. And for me, that feels like validation. That feels like a finish. We needed that. Our guys needed that. Our sponsors needed that. Kroger people have been with us for 16 years. They needed that. They needed to see us in Victory Circle. They needed to be there with us. And I am just thrilled to death that we were able to do that together.
We'll go next to Jerry, then to Matt, then to Jacob.
Jerry Jordan, kickingthetires.net. Kelly just asked about the team, but my question is more about the sponsors. You guys talked about 18 corporate partners. What does a win of the Daytona 500 mean for those groups, and how big is this for them, in believing with you guys?
Well, that's what it's all about. You know, everyone we have are Fortune 500 top share brands. Kroger doesn't lose. You know, they're the biggest grocer in America and getting bigger. So, you know, for them to stick behind us during our hard times, they want to see a winner. And we kept saying, stick behind us. We'll keep digging until we give you a winner. And to do it in the biggest race, but to do it when everyone's here. I knew it was going to come. I was just afraid they wouldn't be here. So we had 125 corporate sponsors here, all C-level people, and it was awesome watching them dance around in Victory Lane. So I'm glad we got to do it together. Yes. Yes. You know, Cottonelle is launching a brand new packaging. That's a big bet for an iconic brand like that. And, you know, it's, hey, your favorite toilet paper just got a new paint job. So that was their big campaign this week. So, yeah, they can really play that up now. There's going to be a lot of good media behind it.
Matt Weaver, Motorsports Tribune. This is for Mike. We've kind of had exchanges before here in Speed Weeks where you guys talk about how good you are, 2020, 2021. Speeding on pit road, crashes. This time, you guys don't have the fastest car. Then you win. Is that kind of just Daytona, and it kind of works itself out?
No, because obviously, when we qualified the other night, we knew we had some issues. We felt like we had a way better car than 35th. And honestly, today I know we did. When we ran Thursday night, I felt like we had a decent car, really good car. Friday, I knew we had an exceptional car. I could look at data. I could look at enough stuff. I could visibly see it. So I thought we had a great race car by the end of the week. And that's attributed to hard work, right? That's probably as hard as we got our teeth kicked in qualifying, probably pushed us harder. Probably missing the race in LA probably pushed us harder, right? Because all winter long I've told these people to believe and we can do this. And we go to LA and we were in position to make the race, and a caution comes out and we get spun or whatever happened, and we didn't make the race. So to me, it's just about believing, and it's just about the people. Jody's 100% right. And I've lived my life in this garage, so I know it is hard. It is the hardest thing to do, is to compete at this level week in and week out for 37 weeks, or however long we're going to do it. But no, I felt confident about the car. Come Friday, I felt like, man, this is probably one of the best cars we've had. Last year we had a fast car. We sat on the pole here, I think, in 2020. We've had really fast speedway cars over the last few years. Opportunity knocked tonight, and we were able to close it in.
And then a question for all four of you, or any of you, beyond belief and conviction that you guys can do anything, what reasons internally do you guys have that this could be a really good season beyond Daytona, you know, going to the playoffs and having a chance to do well in the playoffs?
I was fortunate enough to work around a lot of really great leaders in this sport. I worked for Ray Evernham. I worked for Dale Sr. I worked for Jimmy Finnig, Jack Roush. And I won a cup championship in 2004, and I kind of saw the recipe, how to get people to believe it and how to make it work, right? That's what we needed, right? So we have – I'm not sitting here and going to tell you that we're going to go win California, but I do believe we will run well at California. Ricky ran well there last year. I do believe there will be races that if we finish and execute, we'll be back in this room this year. But we've had great meetings. We've changed up some of the way we do things in-house. We've changed up our engineering staff. We had a team meeting for the first time in a long time before the race, right? We are doing the things that I believe lay the foundation to get where you want to go. We are taking every day serious. We show up at 6:30 in the morning like every other race team here. I'm not telling you anything you don't see. We're just seeing it with 40 people. And it's easier that sometimes that's easier, right? If you try and turn a big ship and I got to get permission to change this on a race car, I got to go through a production staff and I've got to ask this guy to ask this guy to ask this guy. It's basically me, Ernie Cope, and our engineering group. We use a lot of racing thoughts and mentality. We have a relationship with Hendrick that helps. But it's a group of guys who literally sit across from each other at a table and say, we believe this is what it's going to take. I'm willing, I told Ernie from day one, I told all these people at this table from day one, I'm willing to accept the responsibility if it doesn't. You can put it all on me. You can put it on my shoulders. I'm willing to be the guy. I'm not ducking from it if it doesn't work. But I'm willing, if you'll let me try my way, I'm willing to take the responsibility of it.
Go to Jacob, then Alex, then Melissa.
Jacob Seelman, 77 Sports Media, kickingthetires.net. This is for Jody and Tad. You guys have been through a lot since, you know, jumping to this level in 2009, had only been to Victory Lane, you know, one other time. Jody, you used the word tenacious earlier in this press conference. 8 years, you know, almost 9 years without a victory and all the struggles. Was there ever a point that you guys look at each other and even consider, you know, the end of the road? Or was there always a belief that, no, we're where we need to be and eventually it'll break right for us?
I think everybody questions, because we are always wondering if we're on the right path, the path that is our path, our journey in life. So I think it'd be a mistake not to ask that question and say, am I where I need to be? Sure, we ask. We ask that. We do the best we can. We try to make prudent decisions, financial, and surround ourselves with good people, people that support us and have the same goals and objectives. And we listen a lot. We try to listen more than we talk. And listen to people that value us and respect us and whose intellect we respect. And that's usually the direction we go. We pray about it. We're prayerful people. Not everybody is, but that's my position.
I will say this for a team our size, COVID was not good. You know, we create product demand. Our sponsors didn't have a demand problem. They had a supply problem. They're like, man, we can't make enough toilet paper put on the shelves, much less do promotions. And, you know, there's a lot of back and forth and people wanting to change contracts. And it was a tough 2 years. And when it gets lean like that after 28, 29 years of doing it, man, yeah, you start wondering, like, man, are we going to be able to turn on the lights in a year? But, man, you just keep praying about it. You keep digging. You don't give up. And we get to the other side of it. The folks from Kroger stick behind us. You know, Gordon sticks behind us. Everyone just keeps believing. And we came out the other side, and the sponsorship's coming back with a vengeance. We're able to give Mike more of what he needs, and it all gets better. So, yeah, I'm not going to tell you they're not mornings when you go, ooh, I don't know. at the beginning, there was a lot of ramen noodles and instant potatoes starting to race team. It got back to that pretty quick, but it's getting better now.
And for Mike, you referenced earlier, you've won this race before. You know what that feels like. How was tonight different, though, with the amount of time that you've worked with Ricky, the relationship that you two have, just to be able to do it together? What has tonight been like?
It's so different because of both situations, right? I was on a team. I was a car chief for Michael Waltrip in 2001, working at DEI, and a great opportunity for me. And we didn't get to celebrate that day, right? We won the race. Our boss died over there in turn four, and that's kind of bothered me for a long time. So to get a chance, and I've come back every year since 2001, believing I would have another opportunity. And every time you drive out of that tunnel and you leave in February, you tell yourself, well, we'll be back in July and we'll have another shot. It's not the 500, but it still means a lot. And you'd leave in July and you'd come back in February and you'd be like, all right, it's the 500 again. Here we are. And when I was on the other side of the fence in the Xfinity garage, that meant a lot to me too, right? I think I finished second with Carl in 09, and Ricky was leading in 2011 or something, and we got wrecked coming to the checkered, and just so many close calls. And you start questioning yourself, man, but you still drive into that tunnel every year. And I know it's probably the same for you guys as it is for us. We drive into that tunnel, man, we're smiling, we hit the gas, and we jump out the other side, and we all take pictures of it. And this year, getting an opportunity to do it with my best friend, and knowing the car we had Friday, I just wanted to stay focused, and I did not want to be the one that took it out of his hands. There was some pit calls that I felt like halfway in the race, I was like, man, I might have missed an opportunity here. How can I get it back? And we got ourselves back, and then we sped on pit road. And we sped on pit road, and as soon as we get back out on the track after serving the penalty, we're three-quarters of a lap down. And I hear there's a big wreck and the caution's out. And I think to myself, man, was that a sign? Was that something bigger than us that put us on pit road? Because where that wreck happened was right where we were running. And I just said, you know what, I'm just going to accept it for what it is and use it to our advantage. And Ricky just kept digging. So to answer your question, I don't know that I'll ever be able to answer to you what this means to me and Ricky. Because there was a lot of low days, and there was a lot of days that was just tough. And to get to the biggest stage, right, in the biggest series of motorsports on the biggest night, and to sit up here, it's pretty amazing.
Alex, then to Melissa.
Hi, Alex Zetlow from the Charlotte Observer. Tad and Jody, you guys have been in this for 29 years. It's kind of similar to Jacob's question. Does a night like this extend your stay in the NASCAR Cup Series for another year, another 2 years, another 3 years, et cetera? Or are wins notwithstanding in how long you stay in this?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think you don't think about quitting. You know, you just keep digging and looking at the next challenge and trying to conquer it. So we hadn't, you know, thought about that. I will say during COVID, you know, there are lines at the gate and people saying, hey, we could buy your charter and, you know, we want to grow our team. And we all talked about it. And, you know, are we going to come out the other side of it? But, you know, we all decided, no, it's not the right time. It's not the right thing to do. So, yeah, I think it puts more wind in your sails, right? You're just going to dig harder and faster for the next one. So, yeah, it definitely gives you some new energy, wouldn't you say, Gordon?
Absolutely. I mean, it was, you know, I'm new to the sport, and this is just huge for me. But I never thought about giving up. Switching to Mike has been huge for us. And it's just been a fantastic situation, and I think we're just going to keep digging.
We'll go to Melissa, and then we have a question in the press box.
All the way back here. Melissa Thomas with Florida National News. To your earlier point about making Black history, congratulations on that. I wanted to correlate that with the press conference we had earlier with Bethune-Cookman announcing their sort of pipeline to NASCAR in terms of helping their students get careers in NASCAR. This is for any of you up there, but wanted to get your thoughts on that pipeline and the prospect of the future of racing with that.
I mean, America doesn't just look like the people in the garage have looked like for 55 years. It's diverse, and everyone has different points of view and different talents and treasures. And, you know, Brad certainly adds a different element to what we do and different thinking and different background. And I think that's the same from engineering to tire changers to drivers. It's sorely needed. NASCAR's done the heavy lifting to really call that out as a priority, and we're going to keep digging in that direction. It's good for the sport. You know, we need to look exactly like the cross-section of America is to continue to build our fan base, so it's awesome.
Go up to the press box.
Chris NightCatchMinutes.com. Mike, my question is, how much does your season change now that you're all but assured a playoff spot in September at Darlington? You guys can do what you want now and try to put yourself in a position to get more wins and more playoff points.
Well, Chris, it's going to take a little delay here for about 24 hours, and probably won't be able to get to work for a day or till at least later tomorrow afternoon. But it does. It'll change some things, but it won't change our goals. Our goals is hopefully, you know, this will put us in the playoffs. We all sat here last year and said, man, there won't be 16 winners, 17 winners. This just means we've won today and we're the first one to win. And our goal is to back that up with one again down the road, right? When I leave here tonight, my focus is to go run top 10, top 12 at Fontana and build on that. And then go to Vegas and run top 10 and top 12 and build on that. So that I don't have to rely on a single win, that I'm up high enough in the points that it doesn't. We're not going to sit here and start changing our whole philosophies on everything because we won the race. I'm not going to start trying things because I need to have a better baseline of what I have. I don't have anything that tells me we are on a direct path to winning races yet until we start running more of them. Do I believe we're better than we were last year? Yes, we were fortunate enough to get to go to the Phoenix test, and that was a really tough race for this organization last year. It was tough on all of us, and the test boded well for us, and the work that my engineers are doing in the off season said that we are definitely better there than we were. So it doesn't change. I'm not going to throw Hail Marys next week. I'm going to go to Fontana and do everything I can to put ourselves in position to run in the top 10 and get stage points every chance I can.
Tad, Mike, Jody, Gordon, congratulations on winning the Great American Race. Good luck next week in Fontana and the rest of the season.